Welcome to Spruce Grove Alliance Church, your home.
Well, it's great to be here with you this morning on a Vision Verse Sunday. Do you remember the illustration that Pastor Brent used a while back about when you put on your coat again for the winter and you slip in your hand into the pocket and out you pull a $20 bill? It's like free money. It's so exciting. You know, it was your money to begin with, but it feels like a special gift that you've received. And that's kind of how I felt about my vision verse that we chose in December, and then I was asked to put today together, and I kind of reached my hand back in my pocket, and I was like, wow, this verse is awesome. I like the idea that in December, we begin to ask God to lead us to a verse that we can continually come back to throughout the new year and claim as our vision verse. Last year, I made my verse, actually my kids made my verse, on my phone wallpaper, and so it would flip through pictures and then it would show up as well on there as well. And so it was in front of me constantly, and I thought about it often. However, this year, because none of my kids volunteered to put it on my phone, I kind of chose it and forgot about it. I pondered it a bit in January, but then in the busyness of life, I didn't come back to it as often as I would have liked to. So whether you're like me and you've forgotten about your vision verse a bit, or for you, it has truly been a word from God, and it's been a stabilizer in your life. Today, we are going to focus on vision verses again. You'll be reminded to slip your hand in your pocket and pull out what you already have. And if you've joined us since the start of the new year, or you missed it in January because you were busy and you were on holidays and didn't think much about it, there's still time for you to choose a verse that can be your scripture to focus on for the remainder of this year. In the new year, when Pastor Brent kicked off Vision Verses, he reminded us why we do this, why we should choose a verse or a short portion of scripture to hold on to for the year. And it's worth repeating. We are in a war. The enemy of our souls, he hates us. And he has plans to destroy us. To destroy us as individuals, as families, to destroy us as a church. Do you know this reality? Do you feel like you are living in that battle right now? The good news is we are not left without defenses. We have the word of God, the sword of the Spirit to repel the darkness. The word of God is truth, and in the truth of God, we find light, we find strength, we find stability, and we find victory over the enemy. When your vision verses were submitted to the office, the reference and your name were put on display in the foyer. You've probably seen it on the sword on the wall. It's a visual representation of the spiritual weapon that we are brandishing against the schemes and the lies of the enemy. This morning, I've invited two wise women of God and leaders in our church, Louise Frostad and Lori Brightcruz, to join me for this Vision Verse Sunday. They have been brandishing the sword of truth in their lives. Each of us are going to share our verses with you, the circumstances of our lives, and how God led us to them. We'll explain them a bit in their context and then talk about the impact that they are having on our lives. First up is Lori. Lori and I have known each other for many years, seeing each other as we dropped off kids for nursery and Sunday school, and sharing many friends. But it wasn't until we started to work on ministry teams together that we became good friends. And I learned about her sacrificial love for people and Jesus. And as a side note, this is why we encourage people to serve. You make great new friends. That's just a blurb, a commercial in there. The great friendships that you can make. But thanks for being here this morning, Lori. We are looking forward to hearing how God has been working in your life through your verse.
Thanks, Karen. Good morning. What an honor to be asked to come and share with you today. In December, we were challenged by Pastor Brent to start thinking about a vision verse for 2024. And I started to think about what God is trying to tell me in this season of my life. I once again thought about Luke 10:38-42. I think God led Luke to write this passage just for me. It always gives me gentle reminders. In this passage, Jesus is visiting Mary and Martha in their home. And Mary sat at Jesus' feet, absorbing all Jesus was saying and teaching, while Martha was busy making preparations for the meal. Mary understood the priority and necessity of choosing to abide with Christ. And this story resonates with me because I am a Martha. I am task-driven. I like to get things done. I like to check all the boxes. I like to pay attention to order and detail. And as I grow older, though, and more mature in my walk with Jesus, I have become more and more aware that relationship with each other matters more than any checked box. I felt I needed to up my game in all my relationships in life. More phone calls and visits with extended family, more coffee dates, walking dates, and pickleball dates with friends, more intentional time with my husband and our kids, as well, spending more time in fostering relationships in the area I serve in. Much of my focus here today will be on Grace's Table because I serve on the leadership team. Yes, most months I am happy to report that this is a well-oiled machine to produce hot food and for our guests and offer pantry items through these tough economical times. However, the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart over the last year or two that it's not what we serve, but it's how we serve. During our series in Philippians a few months back, I found myself, as Brent would say, marinating here. Philippians is a beautiful letter Paul wrote to the believers in Philippi to express appreciation and affection during his imprisonment in Rome. The themes in his letter were unity and joy. He desired the church in Philippi to be unified, to work together to further the kingdom of Christ. I found myself reading and rereading the prayer Paul prayed over the believers in Philippi, and imagined Paul praying that prayer over our outreach ministry of Grace's Table and for myself personally. So this became my vision verse. Philippians 1:9-11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Our guests at Grace's Table are from a wide range of demographics. Our greeting team welcomes any and all to come and receive some food. Each meal day, our prayer mirrored Paul's prayer that our love would abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. as we build relationships and foster a welcoming, loving community in our space. Paul also prayed for the church to discern what is best. We too pray God's leading as we listen, care for, and engage with our guests. Romans 12:13 says, "Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality." Our volunteers at Grace's Table have numbered into the 200s. And with pastoral guidance, our team has been working for 3 years now. Our volunteers are not only from our church family, but volunteers from Edmonton, Stony Plain, a local school has a team that volunteers frequently, and many others from the Spruce Grove community. As Paul desired the believers of Philippi to be unified and working together to further the kingdom, it is our desire that we would also be unified as we serve together in this ministry opportunity with the ultimate goal of furthering the kingdom. When people sign up to volunteer at Grace's Table, I feel this is a real gift that has been given to us. This is the gift of their time. We want to steward this gift wisely. Just as Paul wrote in his prayer that your love may abound more and more, not only do we want to love on our guests, we want to love on our volunteers each month. Paul prayed to the Father that the church of Philippi would have knowledge and depth of insight to discern what is best. And our heart's desire is to imitate this insight in knowing our volunteers and cultivating relationships here while we serve our community. Each month, we ask Jesus to help us discern what is best. We pray over our scheduling that Jesus would guide us as we set up work teams that include volunteers from many backgrounds. This helps to accomplish part of our mission statement to know one another. We pray over the food, that the warm, nutritious meal would be a blessing to someone in need, and a bag of groceries would help out in these tough times. This fulfills another part of our mission statement, to make him known. Some examples of cultivating a culture of community while volunteering at Grace's Table: our fellowship in the kitchen and workspaces as people enjoy conversation and laughter as they work. Often, coffee and dessert make their way into the work areas too. Two volunteers, in addition to their two-hour commitment, drove one of our guests back into Edmonton after he made his way out to our church for a warm meal. There is mentorship in different areas of service as we are a multi-generational outreach. New volunteers frequently telling us how excited they are to be part of our team. Or volunteers texting us after they have had their shift saying they are available the next day as well to come in and lend a hand. Sometimes there's extra deliveries being done even after our initial deliveries have been completed because we still have food and Jesus still keeps bringing people to mind that need a warm meal. I also love having volunteers go out of their way to cover some of my duties even before I've gotten around to them. It is in these acts of service that we need more knowledge and depth of insight. It is our desire as a team to steward this ministry well and be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, just as Paul desired for the church of Philippi to be pure and blameless. In verse 11 of my vision verse, Paul prays over the church of Philippi that they would be filled with the fruit of righteousness. I believe what Paul is saying is that righteous attributes in the lives of believers is a normal and expected outcome of a walk with Christ. These are the fruits of the Spirit, which include peace, joy, kindness, and love. Who doesn't desire these outcomes as we walk with our Lord? Shifting to a personal note, as I imagined this prayer over Paul, prayed over the church of Philippi, I imagined Paul praying this prayer over myself. Yeah. This photo on the screen was taken as we were zip lining over the Costa Rican jungle recently. My husband, Kenton, and I are journeying through the different stages of parenthood. We now, all of a sudden, have two adult kids. Wow, how time flies. It seems like yesterday, I was quite nervous about homeschooling my daughter kindergarten, then at the age of 5. Having young children brought some challenging days, but let me tell you, as many of you know, having adult children brings a whole different kind of challenge. In this stage, we are finding ourselves on our knees more and more as we seek knowledge and depth of insight on how best to move forward, developing a positive adult-to-adult relationship with our kids. Just as Paul desired the believers in Philippi to have good discernment, we too are seeking the Lord to discern what is best as we navigate different aspects of our kids' culture that we may not understand or we may not even embrace. We continue to trust and have faith that they too will be filled with the fruit of righteousness, just as Paul longed for the Philippian church. Concluding this passage, Paul says, "To the glory and praise of God, the Gospel Coalition defines this. God's glory is the magnificence, worth, loveliness, and grandeur of his many perfections. God communicates his glory through his creation, image bearers, providence, and redemptive acts. We, God's people, respond by glorifying him. God receives the glory and through uniting his people to Christ, shares his glory with them. What a beautiful picture of Christ's church unified with God's glory showering over us. In all the ways, God has answered the many prayers of our leadership team, his bountiful provision for Grace's Table as an outreach in our community, and all the ways he has been faithful to our family over the years, I can't help but give him all of my praise."
Thank you, Lori. Yes, give her a hand. May God continue to give her abounding love, knowledge, and depth of insight as she walks with him and brings glory to him. Next sharing with us is Louise. I have known Louise for many years as well. I have long admired and appreciated her wisdom as a woman of God, a few years ahead of me. She probably doesn't remember this, but I remember her years ago at an elementary when Broxton had the Christian program in it, and it was an end-of-the-year event, and Dan and I tromped in to the hot, loud, if you've been there, you know it. It's stuffy, the kids are excited, school's almost done. Chaos with our kids, 6, 4, 2, and new. And we're just trying to navigate this crazy crowd and find a place to sit down. And Louise, from the top of the bleachers, calls down, "Hey, Dan and Karen." And I look up and she says, "How many more years of this do you have? This is my last one." I knew then that she had a great sense of humor and was super fun. Thanks for sharing with us today what God has laid on your heart and what you have learned from your vision verses.
Thanks, Karen. I actually didn't remember that, but it does sound like me. So it's very much a privilege to be asked to share today. Before I share the vision verses that I believe God gave me for this year, I'd like to share a bit about this stage of my journey with the Lord. Our family, some of you will know us, and some of you, because we have so many new, which I praise God for, we've been coming here to SGAC for the past 24 years. The context of me is that I'm a daughter, a wife, mother, recent grandmother, and an aunt. And in our church, I'm also presently a growth group leader. At this point in time, I've been a Christian for almost 50 years. And I say that just to let you know that even though it's been a long time, I still find the Word of God continuing to be new and a rich blessing in my life. So about 3 years ago, I found myself needing to make an abrupt life change. I had to leave my very loved career to be a full-time care partner for my husband due to cognitive illness. This meant leaving a very public-facing life in local government to come home to a quieter, sometimes very lonely life as a 24/7 caregiver. At that moment in time, I prayed and I asked the Lord to allow me to be fruitful in this season. I wanted to have Him make sense of this change in our lives and give me purpose in my days. One of the earliest words He communicated to me through Psalm 32, verse 8, was, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." From this passage, I felt that I was to rely on the Lord to determine my learning path in my devotional life. He was to be my teacher. And for 3 years, He has faithfully brought direction to my daily time with Him. I've been led to read through the Bible in a year, pursue various Bible studies, read certain books, etc. It's been a very rich time of study and growth in intimacy with Him. He's been my constant guide and companion. The quest for a vision verse has been part of this journey. In the middle of 23, I was seeking to have a deeper prayer life, and like James 5:16 says, to be effectual and fervent in prayer. Two different books came to the surface for me. The first one was called With Christ in the School of Prayer by Andrew Murray, and the second one, The Devout Life by Roger Helland. Both of these books had chapters on the priesthood of believers, and one of those was particularly tied to intercession. I've been feeling for some time that intercession and prayer ministry were definitely part of God's call in my life in this season. So from this came the vision verses that God has given me for 2024. They're found in 1 Peter 2, 5, and 9. It says in the New International Version, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." And I also just really appreciate the Message paraphrase of this passage. It says, "Present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life, in which you will serve as holy priests, offering Christ-approved lives up to God. You are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do His work and speak out for Him, to tell others of the night and day difference He made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted." So there's been many rich study pathways coming from these verses so far this year. For me, study takes many forms, such as reading different Bible versions and commentaries, Greek and Hebrew word studies, cross-reference, topical books, etc. So, and I'm just going to read you a list of some of the study pathways I've been on, just so that you can see how one verse can make a very rich devotional journey. So since January, some of the items the Lord's been with me to study are the original declaration of priesthood in Exodus 19, 5 and 6, the priestly blessing spoken over God's people in Numbers 6, 24 to 26, His promise that the Gentiles would become part of the priesthood, and that promise was given in Isaiah 66, 21, the declaration of the New Testament priesthood, which is in the vision verses I read to you, And then topics like being living stones, the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life, being a spiritual house, a sanctuary, a temple for his spirit, spiritual sacrifices, the tie between the ministry of intercession and the priestly calling, being his chosen ones, his treasured possession, coming from darkness to light, etc., etc. Because since writing this, there's been more study pathways still from these same verses. So there's actually a rich time of teaching that could come from each of these study pathways. And Karen and Lori will both tell you that I struggled to narrow down the nuggets I was supposed to share this morning. But I believe that the following two things are what I was supposed to highlight today. So first of all, in Jesus, priesthood is the calling of every single believer. So all believers in Christ have a right to the priesthood because of his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. We have a right to it, but we have to choose to exercise it. To be a priest, we have to choose to enter into communion with him in order to be a channel of blessing to those around us, to bring the divine and the unseen into our temporal world. Andrew Murray says that in doing this, we are bringing glimpses of God's glory and mercy to hungry hearts. Whatever we experience with him and learn from him is meant to be part of our ministry to others. It's a flow through of his mercy and his compassion to those we meet. Intercession is closely linked to the priestly calling, but so are other ministries such as service, worship, teaching, caring, counseling, vocation, and mission. We can be a priest in whatever area of ministry and gifting God places us. It changes our mindset when we understand that we walk in this world as his priesthood. The second thing I think he wanted me to emphasize this morning is that we are to be living and vibrant stones, building a sanctuary for others. Jesus is our model in this. He's our cornerstone. We are apprentices to him. We are to align ourselves with him and emulate his example in all that we do. As we work together in building a spiritual house, a temple for his spirit in our own individual lives and in our collective church life, we create sanctuary for the hurting and the hungry. As we come out of darkness into his light, we help to bring his kingdom and peace to our world. Sometimes, coming out of darkness into light means having a greater understanding of how he sees us and what it means to be chosen and treasured by him. Digging deep into these truths brings healing to us and enables us to bless others. In order to do all of this, we need to enter into the Holy of Holies, commune with him, be healed ourselves, so that we can impart life and peace in our world. So what I see in my life from these vision verses in this season is that I'm to continue pursuing intimacy with God and his word. I am to know his voice and his word and use it to minister and intercede for others. I'm to obey the spiritual sacrifices that he reveals in his word as I read and study. I'm to continue to pursue an understanding of intercession as a ministry path for me. I'm to seek to impart mercy and compassion to others, to be a channel of his blessing, and be a minister of reconciliation. The reference for that is 2 Corinthians 5:20. And I'm to believe that there will be opportunity to listen to others, pray for and hold space for others, possibly through one-on-one ministry. This, for me, is a season of smaller, quiet, more intimate ministry path, perhaps one-on-one mentoring in the word, study, or creativity. And I'm still praying about that. And finally, there's also an ongoing, continued whisper in my heart regarding the possibility of writing for his glory. So a couple of the items on that list are continuances from last year's vision verse process. That's something I want to remind us of. Vision verses are for a one-year period, but God's not bound by our calendar. When he gives us an assignment to work on, he'll continue that work with us until it's completed. I want to close today by sharing with you three advantages that I see of vision verses in the life of our church. First of all, I believe vision verses can be community building. They're great conversation topics that you can have with other church members. It creates community when we share with one another what the Lord is doing in our lives. Secondly, they are prayer supporting. If we know someone's chosen vision verse, we can pray for them more effectively, and we can check in from time to time to provide ongoing support of one another in the body of Christ. And finally, I hope that you see from my testimony today that vision verses can be faith building. Having a vision verse can be a personal launch pad for taking us deeper into God's word and giving us a sense of his intention for our lives. It lets us pursue God as our teacher. His word is living and active, and it'll speak to us regardless of how we choose a verse. Once you choose a verse, though, that theme will keep being noticed by you throughout that year. It's like a personal whisper from God to you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much, Louise. May God continue to be your teacher. We can see that he is teaching her in part so that she can teach and mentor others. And one more vision verse for today, and I have mine to share with you. So in December of last year, perhaps you'll remember, we had Ray Perry, one of our SGAC homegrown international workers here, and he preached a message. And in his message, he challenged us to read through the Gospels. Do you remember this? We were to read through the Gospels and take note of how Jesus interacted with people. I was between devotional study plans, and so I thought, great, that's a great plan, I'll do that. And you know, like with most things that concern Jesus, it was like drinking a nice cold drink on a hot day. It was reviving to my soul. Matthew 9, 12 and 13. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." These verses seemed to leap off the page. I didn't know why, but I wrote them down, and I wrote at the top of the page, maybe vision verse 2024. And over time, as I kept reading and went through other verses, I felt like God led me back to these particular verses as my vision verses for 2024. So Matthew 9, 12 and 13 are recorded in the midst of a full day of Jesus busy doing what Jesus does. So he's casting out demons, he's forgiving sins, he's healing a paralytic, he's inviting followers, and then he's sharing a meal with friends. We have a wide variety of people and situations where Jesus has done just simply amazing and miraculous things, and this leads us into verse 10. I like the Message paraphrase for putting these verses into story form. Later, when Jesus was eating supper at Matthew's house with his close followers, a lot of disreputable characters came and joined them. When the Pharisees saw him keeping this kind of company, they had a fit and lit into Jesus' followers. What kind of example is this from your teacher, acting cozy with crooks and riffraff? Jesus, overhearing, shot back, "Who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick? Go figure out what this scripture means. I'm after mercy, not religion. I'm here to invite outsiders, not coddle insiders." Jesus had a way of bringing honor and justice to men and women who were on the outside, who were on the margins of society. Story after story of his interactions show Jesus' help and care for people right where they are. Consistently, he meets their needs. Rather than concerning himself with meeting the expectations of the religious, the insiders, and the religious here are those who think their activities and actions make them right with God, regardless of what is going on in their own heart. The religious of that day and of our day live in judgment of others and their sin, instead of looking at themselves and the sin in their own life. Time and again, Jesus does things differently, bringing the kingdom of God wherever and to whomever he meets. I have one quick example. Think of the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4. Jesus asked if he could drink after her, treating her as clean, not unclean. He respected her and talked theology with her. And she was the first person Jesus told he was the Messiah. Each of those interactions broke the societal norms of the day. Scripture tells of person after person with low social or religious status treated with compassion and kindness by Jesus. He makes space for those who have not yet cleaned up their act, and he invites them into relationship and to join community. And in addition, he's the good shepherd who leaves the 99 to go after the one. Not only does he include those who have never been included, he goes after the one who has wandered away. I've wrestled a bit over why I'd feel like God highlighted this scripture for me. While I don't doubt I can grow in compassion and in seeing people with the eyes of Jesus, I've been unsure what to do with this, and I was from day one. I didn't really know what I was to do with it. In a group of women that I meet with regularly, I shared these verses and admitted that I have struggled a bit with them. I wondered what this meant about me. Am I so lacking in compassion that God wants me to spend a year focusing on developing it? Again, I know I can grow here. However, it didn't sit quite right. One of my friends wisely reminded me that as a leader in the church, Jesus is speaking to me and leading me not only for myself, but possibly for my role here. This resonated well with me and shows again how we need the body of Christ. We need community. We need outside perspectives and to allow others to speak into our lives. I believe that Jesus wants to grow compassion for those on the outside, those on the margins, both in me personally and us as a church community. To make space for and to, like him, elevate the lowly, the different, the needy. To quote Jesus, to be people who care for the sick, not the healthy, the sinners, not the righteous, or those who think that they're righteous. It's worth noting that in verse 13, Jesus is doing what we're doing with our vision verses. He is drawing his sword in a time of attack and quoting from the scriptures from the prophet of Hosea. "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." If you were here at SGAC since before we paved the parking lot, then you might remember when we had no parking lot lighting. There was also a time that we didn't even have lights on the outside of our building, or if we did, I think there were some, but then they got taken down for some reason. And so they were few and inefficient. When the lights were installed and turned on, I had a picture come to mind of the importance of the light of SGAC. Placed right where we are, on this corner of this lot, we are light in our community. However, our light was not only to shine in the physical world. I felt like God stirred in my heart parallels of who we are in Spruce Grove as a light in the spiritual world. We are here for a purpose, and it is significant and important. We are lighting the way so that people can find Christ. SGAC and the people of SGAC are to shine like stars in the darkness. God is so faithful. His word is alive and it is active. How blessed we are that he is a God who speaks to us. So many of you serve and love people right where they are so well, through the ministries of the church, through other organizations, and just in your daily life. But I believe I and we can continue to grow in compassion and in mercy wherever he's placed us, and to whomever he will bring through our doors. As I look ahead to fall, I wonder less why God led me to these verses. In the ministry planning world, we are now making plans for our fall 2024. Through spring of 2025. I hope you'll join me, not only in praying for wisdom in our plans, but also plan to join in, to reach out with mercy to those on the margins. While fall feels like a long way off, I find that even now personally, I am planning or beginning to think about what my fall will hold. What does it look like to have a schedule with margin in it so that collectively and individually we can love our neighbors well? What would it look like here at SGAC to make space not only for the healthy but for the sick, not only for the righteous but the unrighteous? Because of my vision verses, I'm now on the lookout. I don't know who is going to walk into my life or into the life of the church. But I know that God is asking us to show up with mercy, to show up with compassion. Because as Jesus' followers, this is what it looks like to follow him. My prayer this morning is Louise, Lori, and I have shared our vision verse, our verses, is that you've been reminded of the weapon that you hold, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We face battles individually and collectively. Let's brandish that sword of truth and fight back against the lies and the schemes of the enemy.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Spruce Grove Alliance Church. For more information or to hear past messages, please visit sgac.net.